Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, etc. November 2nd through the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
The hymn For All the Saints. It is a song, along with many others in the church's repertoire, that speaks of those who have gone before us. We say those who have died in Christ, have died confessing Christ. Now, a vast majority of those are anonymous, unknown to us, which is kind of why the church has, while it observes various saints through various times of the year, has, nearing the end of the church year, decided for an observation to remember all the saints. All the saints together, those who are known and the vast majority who are known only to God and remembered only by God. And the church continues to do this year after year, remembering all the saints. Greetings, welcome to Issues, Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, in this case, All Saints Day observed. Today is All Saints Day, and it gets transferred forward to the next Sunday for the church's observance. Dr. Carl Fakencher will be our guest, leading us through the propers for All Saints Day, according to the three-year lectionary. A little bit later, Robert Spencer joins us from Jihad Watch. We'll talk about Tuesday's terrorist attack in Manhattan. It was a massive confusion with several dead and several more injured. Everyone heard the man who claims they heard him say, Allahu Akbar, came to the same conclusion that this is a terrorist attack. Elaine Donnelly will join us from the Center for Military Readiness after that to talk about a federal judge blocking President Trump's ban on transgender troops in the military. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, The Three Men in the Fiery Furnace, in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Feel free to join us over the next 2 hours. We welcome your questions and your comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to look forward to Sunday morning, the church's observation of All Saints Day, Dr. Carl Fakencher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure, especially this day.
Well, having just yesterday celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, it seems marvelous that the church here gives us something else, in a lot of ways, something bigger and more glorious yet to follow, All Saints Day. All Saints brings plenty of celebration of its own, doesn't it? What are some of the things that we are going to be celebrating this coming Sunday?
Well, you're absolutely right, Todd. It is a magnificent day that we celebrate every year. We celebrate the Reformation each year. This, the 500th, does make it very, very special. But it's hard to imagine anything more glorious than to consider what God does for each one of us as sinful people in cleansing us of our sin in Jesus Christ, making us holy, making us saints, and ultimately giving us the joy of heaven and the resurrection of the body to anticipate yet in the future. I mean, it's hard to be better than that. And in our chapel service this morning at the seminary in Fort Wayne, tears came to my eyes as we sang our hymn of the week. They kind of always do. It's a magnificent day with much to celebrate in its own right. And actually, interestingly, there are some very nice connections that All Saints Day has also with the Reformation. And particularly this Reformation Day that we just celebrated connects very well. You know, a most basic thing is to remember that Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517, because it was the eve of All Saints Day. And he knew that people would be going to church the next day, All Saints Day, and would see what was posted, at least the academics who could read the Latin and consider engaging him in debate. So even historically, the days are linked. And there are also a number of things about All Saints Day that are so totally dependent on what the Reformation set free. None of us would perhaps be saints, would perhaps have known that we are saved by what Christ did for us if God had not set the gospel free, at least humanly speaking, through the Reformation of the 16th century. Todd, the particular things that I want to look at this week as we look at All Saints Day are really five things to notice in the propers. I'll mention them all right now, and as we go through, people can listen in and hear where they key in. First of all, of course, All Saints Day always calls upon us to remember what and who the saints are. They are the holy people, children of God, and we'll hear that affirmed. It's not just, as you mentioned in your intro, the saints that we know by name with great stories. It's also the saints who have been faithful in Christ Jesus and are known only to God and perhaps to their loved ones. Number two, the fact that we are saints reflects the fact that we are very much changed. Even we could say on this day, reformed. We've been made again so that we are very different from the world. That'll come out in our propers. As a result, number three, since we are changed to be different from the world, there's going to be persecution. Persecution comes through very vividly in the propers for All Saints Day. Even as it is a glorious day, we can't live in a theology of glory where we think everything is going to be wonderful for us here on earth. There's going to be persecution. We live under the cross. Number four, the saints are blessed, and that comes across so beautifully a number of times, especially in the Beatitudes in our gospel lesson. That's true. We are blessed even though we are suffering persecution. And finally, number five, for the saints, we always look ahead to the glorious resurrection of the body to come, and our epistle lesson will pick that up when it talks about what will happen at Christ's appearing, which, of course, really is his reappearing at the end of time. So all five of those elements will show up rather continuously through our propers as we go through them today.
The first proper we encounter is the introit, and it is mostly Psalm 31, but it begins with something we're going to hear quite a bit in the course of the spirit of what we're going to hear quite a bit in the course of the Sunday, a little bit of Revelation 7.
Exactly. Revelation 7, verse 14. It will be in our first reading, our New Testament reading, but it's also the antiphon for the intro here. It'll come up even in the gradual as well, so it comes up actually three times. We begin with that. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Yes, beginning with the antiphon from Revelation chapter 7, it's no surprise that we go to that portion of the scriptures which give us such a beautiful picture of heaven. And here we begin by getting a clear look at what the saints really are, who the saints really are. These are the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's, of course, most foundational for All Saints Day, isn't it? It's not as if when we talk about saints that we're talking about people who, because of some spectacular works they have done, that they are honored beyond or above other Christians. The fact of the matter is no one is a saint by his own good works at all, but everyone is a saint when his sins have been washed away, when he's been given the robe of righteousness in the blood of the Lamb. So the saints are every one of us who believe in Christ, because by faith we are washed, our robes are white in the blood of the Lamb. But also, right away here in the antiphon, we have a reminder that even though we are saints, we are God's holy people, we're going to suffer. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. That's to say that here on earth, we are going to suffer. And we'll see that again and again in the propers. Later on, for You Are My Rock and My Fortress. I love that because, of course, that does remind us of one of the great connections to Reformation Day. A mighty fortress is our God. We all sang yesterday or on Sunday as we celebrated the anniversary of the Reformation. And Luther was very clear on the idea that God protects us from those sufferings. If we're going to be persecuted, then we certainly need God's care and protection. And the mighty fortress is the symbol of that, which, of course, is Christ Jesus himself. And then the last verse from Psalm 31, verse 5, that we cite, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." That brings to all of our minds, of course, Jesus' words on the cross as he died, his last words, even after it is finished, "Into Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit," which is a wonderful expression of the faith in which the saints live. We live all our lives this way, and at the moment of death, we are trusting that God will give us heaven now, that our spirits will be received immediately into the perfect joy of paradise with Christ in heaven, and also that we trust God at the time that he knows to be just right to raise up our bodies and all flesh at the resurrection to come. That is, of course, when Jesus returns. So already in the intro, we see a number of those major five elements of the propers for All Saints Day coming out very clearly.
Let's look at the collect. It has the sound of, a funeral, actually. We hear these words in the course of a longer kind of litany in the traditional rite of Christian burial.
We do, and that, of course, as you are making clear there, Todd, quite appropriate, because this is the day when we celebrate that God does not abandon us at the time of death, but we can count on him. We can commit our spirits to him at the moment of death. Here's the collect. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. It's a beautiful picture of the saints anyway, when we talk about the body of Christ, the one holy communion being knitted together. It's a beautiful picture of the oneness that we have in Christ. And it really is true, and All Saints Day reminds us of this, that everyone who has faith in Christ, even those who are not clear on all points of doctrine, some who hold to some false teachings, nevertheless, when they hold to Christ as their Savior, really are knitted together with us. And in heaven, we'll see how that unity has always really been there, despite the divisions that of necessity come when there is false teaching. Beautiful picture of the body of Christ, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, we refer to this often at funerals, the unspeakable joys that you have prepared for those who love you. Todd, I'm sure it's always the case with you as well on All Saints Day, especially when we sing for all the saints. It often, for many of us, brings to mind beloved ones of ours, whether parents, grandparents, in some cases children, who have died in faith in Christ Jesus. And to think of them experiencing unspeakable joys even now is the most comforting thing that a son or a grandson or a father could ever have when he thinks about loved ones who have gone before into heaven. It's a wonderful comfort, and certainly that is very much our prayer on All Saints Day.
What do we find in the gradual? You said that it's another place where we find that verse that served as the antiphon for the intro.
Exactly. Revelation 7:14 is here again, along with Psalm 84, verse 5. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We've heard that. We'll hear it yet again. And then Psalm 84, verse 5 goes on, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion." That's the first occurrence of the word blessed, but we'll hear it again and again and again in the Beatitudes in our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 5 coming up. So that also is an important element here. And it's again worth noting that while the gradual normally goes through an entire season, when we have a special festival like this, like All Saints Day, this gradual stands just for this one Sunday. So that makes it noteworthy in itself.
And before the break, let's talk about the verse, which is this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us.
Right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Alleluia. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Alleluia. The great cloud of witnesses is all of those saints who've gone before us. It's very important as we hear that verse to realize it's not suggesting, you look at the context in Hebrews chapter 11 and then chapter 12, that they are not looking on as if we've got to somehow please them. We don't want to disappoint grandma or don't want to disappoint Martin Luther or St. Peter. That's not the point at all. But rather, they are witnesses to Christ by what they did during their lives of faith and the actions that resulted as a result of faith are witnesses to us to encourage us, and that's what the writer of the Hebrews goes into, but always encouraging us as they did to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And nothing could be more important in celebrating All Saints' Day rightly than remembering that we're never looking at the saints as if the saints are ultimately what the day is about. The saints who are in heaven know very well that it's not about them. It was and continues to be about Jesus Christ also in their minds, in their faith. And so that's, of course, where All Saints always directs us to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of that faith, which makes us holy, which makes us saints. It's always all about Christ Jesus.
On the other side of the break, we'll be looking at, well, where the Old Testament reading ordinarily would occur. There's a reading from the New Testament, Revelation chapter 7, that great multitude from every nation, tribe, tongue on earth. We'll talk about that with Dr. Carl Fikencher as we look forward to Sunday morning, All Saints Day observed. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Religious liberty is an issue I think that we as Christians need to get out in front of.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Whether it's willful or simple ignorance, the media have badly misrepresented this issue. It is also vital that all Americans understand just how foundational religious liberty and freedom of conscience are to the preservation of all American freedoms. And this is something that even those Americans who aren't religious should understand and agree with. I also happen to believe that we as Lutherans, with our understanding of Two Kingdoms theology, are in an excellent position to be the explainers and ambassadors of this issue.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for religious liberty at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
What is the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2017? Take an in-depth look at trends, data, and stories from around the LCMS when you read the Lutheran Witness magazine's annual State of the Synod issue this November. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Oh.
Stanza 2 of the hymn For All the Saints. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, the church observing All Saints Day. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. Dr. Fikencher, the book of Revelation serves as the first reading, chapter 7, as we observe All Saints Day. What do we find there?
This is probably the reading from Revelation that people most vividly picture when they think about the book. A lot of scary things in Revelation if they're misunderstood, but if people are just asked, what's Revelation about? Many, many would say, well, it's a picture of heaven. And this Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17 is perhaps the most vivid and maybe the most beautiful and comforting of those visions of heaven that we see in the book of Revelation. Some of our churches will read also verses 2 through 8, just the earlier part of the chapter, but I'll begin reading at Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I, that's John, who of course is seeing this revelation, this vision before him, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Again, just a beautiful, beautiful picture of heaven. We don't know everything that heaven will entail. It's beyond really human description, even in the inspired words of Scripture. It's always going to be limited to what we can picture. But what we can picture here is quite a lot, a great multitude that no one could number. It's way beyond, for example, the 144,000 that Jehovah's Witnesses say would be there. And we would guess it will be in the billions. If there are 7 billion people on earth nowadays, they're going to be perhaps billions of people in heaven. People from every tribe and language, people from all over the world. And there again we see those white robes, clothed in white robes. When we see the white robes, we're reminded of what it means to be a saint, to be cleansed, to be holy. And of course that means being washed, because by our own on our own merit, by our own nature, we are anything but white. We are anything but holy and clean. We are sinful and dirty in every respect. But in heaven, white robes. And the next verse reminds us of how it all happened. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. As soon as we hear the Lamb mentioned, we know we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And of course, that is by nothing other than sacrifice, as all of the lambs through the Old Testament were killed as pictures of this, the Lamb of God. So Christ goes to the cross and is killed as the all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of everyone who's ever lived, for all those who are in heaven, and even for those who are not in heaven, those who do not become saints by faith in Christ. The Lamb also atoned for their sins as well. The salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then we see a beautiful picture of worship. They all fall down before and worship. We picture how heaven will be in terms of our glorious celebration with Christ, where whatever we do will be joyous and active and something that will be delightful for each one of us, whether singing is our cup of tea here on earth or not, whether even sitting in church is our cup of tea. Certainly hope it is, but in heaven it certainly will be everyone's joy to gather around the throne and to sing and to worship and to praise God. Then verse 14 is the one we've heard already twice before. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. There's that reminder of what we said from the beginning. One of the characteristics of the propers for All Saints Day, because it's one of the characteristics of what life is like for the saints on earth, is tribulation, is persecution, is suffering. But they have washed their robes and made them white, again, in the blood of the Lamb. Couldn't be more explicit about the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus' death on the cross being the way that we have eternal life. And then what follows is just such a beautiful description, too, of the joys of heaven. Before the throne of God, serving him day and night in his temple, that'll be wonderful for us. There will never be a dull moment, never be a moment of fatigue, never be a moment of boredom. It'll always be active. We'll always be doing just the things that we really, really desire to do, because serving God in his temple will be the greatest joy for all. And the things that trouble us in this life will be gone. When we talk about coming out of the great tribulation, out of persecution, also we shall come out of hunger, thirst, sun striking us by day, scorching heat, all of the things that could make life a matter of suffering or a matter of discomfort, all will be gone. The Lamb will be in the midst of them as our shepherd. That's the best part. The best part of heaven is being with Christ, in person with Christ. St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, I desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. That's the best thing about heaven. The Lamb in the midst will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, a beautiful picture of how God will be providing for everything. And finally, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, it's ironic, Todd, and again, maybe this is the case with you as well. It's hard for me to go All Saints Day and the worship of that day and the singing of For All the Saints without tearing up. But boy, when we think about how God wipes every tear from our eyes, that actually is the cause of those tears, because we're not thinking about my dad, my mom, my wife's dad in heaven in a sad way at all. We're thinking about them with magnificent joy. We miss them. We'd like to be with them in person. But what we're singing about and what we're tearing up about is the magnificent joy that they are experiencing, those unspeakable joys that we talked about in the collect. And that really is truly wiping away every tear, even as we cry, as we tear up for real joy here on earth. So Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, one of the beautiful pictures of heaven, a beautiful way to anticipate our eternity and to picture those who've gone before us now, a very appropriate and very comforting reading for All Saints Day.
What would you say about Psalm 149?
149 is just an overwhelming of praise, of joy. I'll read it quickly and then comment on just a couple of elements, because as I read through, just picture how delightful it is until it gets to the last portion, and then we'll see how that turns in an interesting way as well. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise him with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. First of all, it's not surprising to us at all that for All Saints Day we've selected a psalm in which that joy is just overwhelming. There's so much to celebrate as we picture heaven for ourselves and for our loved ones. Praise, sing, praise, be glad, rejoice, praise with dancing, making melody, exult in glory, sing for joy, high praises of the Lord be in their throats. All of those expressions of just overwhelming joy, overwhelming delight. We also notice that we have references to who those saints are again. In Psalm 149, it's referred to as the godly, the assembly of the godly. This is an honor for all his godly ones, and that certainly is characteristic of the saints. That is, those who by faith in Christ Jesus really are now turned to God and away from the idleness of this world. Also, we see the saints described in verse 2 as the children of Zion. We'll see that recurring again in our epistle lesson from 1 John in just a moment. But then the last part is interesting. A two-edged sword in their hands to execute vengeance and on the nations, punishments on the peoples. What this really reminds us of is not something vindictive on God's part or on ours, but it is saying that in an absolutely necessary way, there will be an end of all persecution. God's desire and our desire, at least the new man or woman inside us, always is that those who persecute us, who are enemies of God's church, would turn from their resistance, turn from their opposition to Christ's kingdom, and receive the same joy that we experience, the joy of faith in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of all of their sins, even whatever persecutions they have wrought against the church, as St. Paul did before coming to faith. We pray for that. But ultimately, those who finally will remain in opposition to God's kingdom, those who will remain as henchmen of Satan, who reject the gospel as it is so freely there for them, for the Lamb has paid for their sins as well by his blood, well, then it is a necessity that they would be forever separated from opposition to God's people. And that will be true in eternity, that there will no longer be any interaction between those who are enemies of God, enemies of his church, those who are allies of Satan, and God's saints. The result, tragically for them, will be vengeance, will be punishment, will be being in iron fetters with judgment executed upon them. And certainly there's no question that what befalls those who are unbelievers will be eternal suffering to the greatest degree. That's no one's desire, not God's desire, not the desire of the saints, but it is a necessity when someone chooses to be not in God's kingdom but opposed to it. And so even that is actually a comfort to those of us who are saints in Christ, knowing that those who oppose, those who persecute, will no longer be in any contact with us.
We'll be looking at the epistle reading, 1 John chapter 3, and the gospel reading, the Beatitudes, appointed for All Saints Day, observed with Dr. Carl Fakencher when we come back from this break. It's Wednesday, November the 1st, All Saints Day, and this coming Sunday, many churches will be observing All Saints Day. Stay tuned.
"40 Years Greatly Blessed" is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
The congregation at Lake George Lutheran Chapel is a proud supporter of Issues Etc. We are located on the western shore of Lake George. With the lake in view, Jesus still teaches from the boat of his church, and the people sit, listen, and are fed by Christ himself through his holy ministry and instituted means of grace. Every Sunday, 9 a.m., set your course to 1540 West 800 North, Fremont, Indiana. Like us on Facebook at Lake George Lutheran and find out more at lakegeorgelutheran.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
The golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon to faithful warriors comes their rest. Sweet is the
The All Saints Day hymn for all the saints, the sixth stanza. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're looking forward to All Saints Day as the church will observe it this coming Sunday. Dr. Carl Fikancher is our guest. Did you happen to see the headline earlier this week in the Washington Post reading, Rod Dreher is the combative, oversharing blogger who speaks for today's beleaguered Christians? Well, you can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. It includes three meals. Thanks to the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, child care for children ages 1 through 12 is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, 8 days from today, November 10th and 11th in Houston. Dr. Fikancher, take us into the epistle reading, which is, this doesn't happen very often in the lectionary, 1 John chapter 3.
Yes, it's a short reading, just three verses, but a very loaded one. In fact, it has several, three really of the five elements that I was looking for throughout our propers this week. 1 John 3 verses 1 through 3, and it's a beautiful one anyway in the simplicity by which it speaks. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Here we have, first of all, a wonderful description in another kind of image of what it is to be the saints. The saints are those who are children of God. We are God's children. And John says that so beautifully. We should be called children of God. It's a wonderful thing of God's love. And so we are. It's not just an imaginary thing. We shall be called children of God. But it's in fact the reality. We are children of God. That's what it means to be a saint. Now, we also pointed out from the beginning that one of the elements we're looking for is how very different we are from the world, that we have been reformed, that we've been made something very different as the gospel that the Reformation set free has made possible. And it says in verse 1, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. What it makes clear is that we are conspicuously different from the world. The saints of God do not look like the world. Sometimes the old Adam in us, the sinful nature in us, looks exactly like the world, and no one could tell the difference. But there's that new man, that new woman inside us, the believer in Christ, that is the saint, the one who has faith inside us, that really is different from the way the world operates. We have been changed. We have been transformed. We've been made something very different from what the world expects to see around in it, to see people going their own selfish ways, always living for themselves, and that's not the way the children of God, the saints of God, live. The world does not know us, we're different, because it simply could not recognize Jesus. He was so different in every way from the sinfulness of the world, being holy and without sin, and of course the result was his crucifixion. Beloved, we are children of God now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. We said another one of the major elements that we're seeing in our propers this week is the resurrection of the body that comes when Christ appears, or really when he reappears, having come once in the flesh at Christmas, in the incarnation, and returning at the end of the world. The writer of our epistle lesson, St. John, does not give us detail of what that's going to be. We have other descriptions at other times when we talk about the resurrection of the body. St. Paul gives us some description in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But all we know is that it truly will be our own bodies, the very same bodies we have been given. It's not as if the flesh that we have now, the bodies that we have now, will be discarded, are meaningless. Not at all. They also have been redeemed by Christ because he took on our human flesh, became a real human being like ourselves. And so we know that when he appears, when he comes at the end of time, we shall be like him, which still will be in every sense human. We've seen Jesus after the resurrection appearing as he did any number of times to the disciples, and he certainly was still human with real flesh and bones. He was even able to eat fish. The disciples were able to see the wounds still upon him, in every way still human, while also, of course, from all eternity being God. And so our human bodies will be restored, raised, glorified to be like his. And finally, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. That, again, is a picture of how we are different from the world. We have been changed. We have been reformed by being washed in the blood of Christ Jesus, being pure. That's what really sets us apart from the world. That's why we look different from the world, because we are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins, but we are going about our business of doing good works, the results of our faith, and that purity that is visible in those good works, it does truly set us apart. As a result, then, we see in this very short but beautiful epistle lesson some beautiful things. We are children of God. It's a magnificent description of what it means to be a saint. We are totally different from the world. We've been changed, but we will be changed again when our bodies are raised, transformed to be like his glorious body in the resurrection. So we look forward to that final reformation as well, that is very much a part of our hope on All Saints' Day.
Going into this break, the Beatitudes are very familiar, and they are the gospel reading for All Saints Sunday. But read them, and we'll talk about them on the other side.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and of course, you're right, these are among the best-known verses of the Bible, even many of them by those who don't know much else about the Bible at all. Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And what now begins is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Dr. Carl Fikancher is our guest on the other side of the break. We'll continue looking forward to All Saints' Day observed. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll talk about those words of the Beatitudes, the gospel reading for All Saints' Day, after this. Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back. and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
That's For All the Saints, a hymn to be sung on All Saints Day. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning and the church's observation of All Saints Day. Dr. Carl Fikentcher is our guest. We come to the gospel reading you read before the break. Some people would say, why these words, these very familiar words of Jesus, For All Saints Day?
Well, they really do fit those various elements that I'm looking for in our propers this week that are very descriptive of what it means to be a saint. In particular, now we have that word blessed very much in focus. We heard it earlier in our gradual, and we said that would be a very prominent thing in our gospel reading. Of course it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and so on. The word beatitude, of course, actually reflects this idea of blessing, being blessed. But it is also a basis for misunderstanding, and badly so, because it's very possible to take these descriptions of blessing and think that these are all things that we have to earn. And that's why it's so crucial to understand what's going on in the verbs as well. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. This is a description also of the fact that these blessings, which are so much a part of what it means to be a saint, are things that are already secured. Remember, we've said that one of the elements of All Saints Day is that we've been changed. We've been reformed. We're new people, different from the world. That is a present tense reality. The moment someone comes to faith in Christ, a whole new person is created inside. That is the new man, the new woman, the believer. That's the saint, and that is an accomplished fact as soon as the gospel of Christ Jesus has created that new person, has brought that person to faith. In other words, when we say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, we're not looking for something that someone should aspire to and say, can I somehow become poor in spirit so that perhaps then I can inherit the kingdom of heaven? No, the reality is, and this is why it is so appropriate on All Saints Day, Todd, this is what you and I and all who believe in Christ already are. We are already blessed. We are already poor in spirit, and for theirs is, present tense, right now already accomplished, the kingdom of heaven. What happens, of course, is that we do not strive by our works to earn any of these blessings at all. Then they wouldn't really be blessings at all. They'd be payment, a thing that is simply owed to us by God, rather than a gift that he has secured for us in Christ Jesus. We are poor in spirit. That is to say, the believer in Christ already realizes that he has no claim against God. God doesn't owe him anything at all. We come to God totally destitute spiritually, but realizing that Christ has filled us up when we were so empty, when we were so poor in spirit. Likewise, we mourn, that is to say, we confess our sins. We realize that we are guilty before God, but we are comforted with the assurance that Christ has taken away our sin. We are meek because as believers in Christ, we're not making claims over against other people and saying we must have this, we must have that. Rather, we realize that Christ has already given us everything, and so we are always able to bow before those others and be caring for them, loving our neighbor. And, of course, we do have the inheritance of the earth. While the world thinks that those who grab for power control the earth, no, in reality, God has already controlled all things, and so that we, who make no claims, who are meek, are in fact more than conquerors. Hungering, thirsting for righteousness, that's what the believer in Christ does, realizing that we have no righteousness of our own, but that Christ gives it to us, and we are satisfied because we have been declared righteous. We've been declared not guilty by what Jesus did on the cross. Being merciful, again, we are able to care for others, knowing that Christ has already given us every truly good thing. So we receive mercy. That's already given to us. We've already received the mercy of Christ by his death and resurrection. Pure in heart, those who are pure in heart are those who confess their sins and receive that washing in the blood of the Lamb, and we will see God. That is a promise that we have in eternity. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, not as if we have to go out and start making alliances among warring nations, not at all. But we are those who have the gospel of peace. We know that Christ Jesus, by his death on the cross, has reconciled us to God and therefore reconciled us to all people. And we then have the opportunity to speak that word of peace, that gospel of reconciliation to the world. We do make peace, and we're called sons of God as a result. Then, after we realize that we are blessed, it is already a present reality because we have been reformed, we've been transformed, we've been changed to be very different from the world, we realize that the world is going to hate us. We've said those who are in this condition as saints are going to be persecuted, and Christ says we are even blessed as we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And that happens every single day. The opposition against the church will never cease this side of heaven. That will always be the case. But we're assured that as they persecuted also the faithful in the Old Testament, the prophets, and they received their reward in heaven, so shall we as well. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So we've seen here again the fact that we are changed, we are transformed, we are different from the world. We are blessed even as we are persecuted. Those are very much a part of what goes on for us as believers in Christ, as saints. So we've seen among these elements that saints are those who are children of God, who are holy. We've been changed, we've been transformed, we're different from the world. We will be persecuted because we're different from the world, and yet we are blessed nevertheless. And finally, we do look forward to that resurrection of the body that will come at Christ's appearing, as John reminded us in our epistle lesson. Which then, Todd, brings me to a rather lengthy theme for the day, which incorporates all of these elements. And here's the way I would summarize these propers for All Saints Day. You'll even notice that it's a special for this All Saints Day as we follow on the anniversary of the Reformation. While even a Reformation that changed the world will never change the world persecuting God's saints, it has reformed us and an unnumbered multitude into blessed children of God, who will be reformed yet again for eternity at Christ's reappearing. We celebrated how the Reformation changed the world. That can be observed in all kinds of secular ways as well as the spiritual ones. There's no question that what happened in the 1500s and the 16th century changed the world, rocked the world. That did not stop the world from persecuting the saints of God. Not at all. But what the Reformation did do was set free the gospel that has reformed us and an unnumbered multitude, brought us to faith in Christ Jesus, to realize that Christ has done all things for our eternal salvation, and therefore changed us from being enemies of God to being children of God with all the blessings that Christ details in the gospel reading as a part of that. And finally, we will be reformed yet again for eternity at Christ's reappearing. What we have now is grand and glorious. What we'll have at the moment of death is to depart and be with Christ, which is far better than we have now. And yet ultimately, when Christ returns, when he reappears at the end of time, our bodies will be raised, reunited with our souls, and that will give us the ultimate consummation of everything God has intended for us. And by the way, Todd, if I may make one last comment just about the hymn of the day, it's beautiful in that request, in that respect, because it talks about all the saints really in the life cycle of the saint. From the saint who now on earth is struggling in warfare, the well-fought fight, and Christ is our captain in this. It then goes on in stanza 6 to talk about the golden evening brightening in the west, to faithful warriors cometh rest, and that's paradise. That's heaven for those who have died at the moment. But even stanza 7, yet, lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day, the saints triumphant rise in bright array. Even being with Christ in heaven in our souls at the moment of death is only waiting the final consummation, the resurrection of the body, which all the saints will experience for all eternity.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, thank you very much for your time.
A blessed All Saints Day to you, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to kick it off with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch talking about Tuesday's terrorist attack in Manhattan. We'll spend some time with Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness discussing a federal judge's blocking President Trump's ban on transgendered troops in the military. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, The Three Men in the Fiery Furnace. Hour 2 is next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.